This is The Gathering Church in Windsor, Ontario, and I'm Pastor Garth Leno. Welcome to our podcast.
Well, we welcome you again tonight. Thank you for joining us. And if you're watching online on our online service, we want you to know just how happy we are that you've joined us online tonight. You know, a lot of people have absolutely no idea why they are on planet Earth. They really have no idea of what God's plan and God's purpose for them is. They have no sense of direction, no purposeful focus, no path to follow. They just drift along. Met anybody like that? So yeah, I looked in the mirror this morning and I saw one. You know, some friends were hanging out one day and somehow the conversation turned to funerals. They got talking about funerals, Bill. One of the friends asked, well, what would you guys like people to say about you at your funeral? And one of the guys said, well, I think I would like someone to say that he was a great humanitarian and really cared about his community. Another one of the friends said, well, I think I would like someone to say that he was a good father and a good husband and he really cared about his community. Third guy thought for a moment, said, well, I think I'd like to hear someone say, look, he's moving. Sooner or later, we're all going to die. And some of us will die without ever understanding why we were here in the first place. And that's just so sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. The Bible is really very clear about our purpose. God created us with a very clear purpose and plan in mind for each one of us and for our church. The ultimate goal of our lives as Christians and the ultimate goal of our church is to glorify God, plain and simple. We've been singing about it tonight. In Psalm 86, King David declared, all the nations you've made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. And Romans 11, 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 6, 20. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. And 1 Corinthians 10, 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Scripture is consumed with this idea of glorifying God as our Father. In John's vision, you recall, in the book of Revelation, he saw 24 elders falling down before God who sat upon the throne, and they say, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You put all those verses together and it starts to paint a picture, doesn't it? The ultimate goal of the universe is to show the glory of God, according to Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. I mean, the glory of God is the reason for everything. It's the reason for everything that exists, including you and me and our church. God made it all for his glory and for our good. So when the goal of my life is to please God, we talked about that last week, I love him supremely and trust him completely and obey him wholeheartedly and praise him continually and serve him humbly. We talked about that last week. That becomes a pleasing aroma to God. And he's happy when he is glorified by his people. And if you live like that, if that's how you live to make God happy, to please him in every way, then people who know you very well begin to say, oh my, God is glorious. So maybe not in so many words, but they're compelled to look for answers as to why your life is so different and so good and so abundant. You see, they will see Jesus Christ in you, and they will begin to glorify God because you put the infinite beauty and worth of God on display by the way you live. The public display of the infinite beauty and worth of God is what we mean by the glory of God. That is the glory of God. We base that partly on Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His, you'd expect Him to say, holiness, right? I mean, that would make more sense than to talk about glory, except for the fact that the holiness of God is attached to His glory, and His glory is attached to His holiness. And when the holiness of God goes public, when the infinite beauty of God goes public, when the majestic worth of God goes public, you call that glory. That's the glory of God. So we glorify God when we call attention to His greatness and show His supreme value by delighting in Him and cherishing Him, so that with one heart and voice we glorify Him. Make sense? The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, what is the chief end of man? The answer? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. That is the purpose of our church, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So you should never be hesitant to laugh and be joyful in church and to sing with gusto, even if you've got a bad voice like mine, because we're bringing glory to God. We're enjoying Him, and that in itself brings glory to God. But how do we do this practically? How do we glorify God and enjoy Him forever? How do we do that? What does that look like? Well, in order to understand why we're here and come to terms with our purpose in life, we need to make several discoveries that we find in Scripture. And the first one is to discover the center of your life. Discover the center of your life. What is it that drives you? That this is really a question about worship. Who are you going to worship? Who are you going to live for? Who are you going to build your life around? That's the question. Jesus said in John 4, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. See, to build their lives around Him. To make Him the center of their lives. You can center your life around your career, your family, your money. You can build your life around sports or hobbies or politics. Many people do that. And you know, there's really nothing wrong with any of those things. There's nothing wrong with sports or politics or earning a good salary. Nothing wrong with any of that. But they don't belong at the center of your life. You see, none of them is strong enough to hold you up when life falls apart. And we heard Bill talk about how he deals with that every single day. People's lives fall apart. They have no center. Their loved one dies, a grandfather, mother, father, child. And their lives just literally fall apart because they have no center. When you committed your life to Christ, He moved into the center. Right? He moved right into the center of your life. And you keep Him there through worship. Be thankful. Please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. Private worship at home, corporate worship in the church, that helps keep you centered on Christ. Make sense? Another discovery you'll need to make, discover the character of your life. The character. I think that's a question about discipleship. And Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So in light of the call to discipleship, what kind of person will you be? What will be your character as you hopefully add life to your years and not just years to your life? What will be the character of those years? What will be the quality of your life? Remember, you will take your character into eternity, but not your career. Your character is more important than the size of your portfolio or your paycheck. We glorify God by the character that we develop through discipleship. And that's why Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." It's like he's on a train. It's gaining speed. Verse 8, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see, character building, character development is a process that takes place over time. It takes time to build character. It takes time to build spiritual maturity. That's, theologians call that sanctification. You're being set apart by God and being made holy by God day by day, week by week, month by month. It takes time. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, but we need to keep adding to our faith until we reach spiritual maturity. And that's how we bring glory to God. So in the process of detecting our purpose in life, what are we here for? We should be asking some important questions and making some of these discoveries about the center of our lives, also about the character of our lives, and then discover the contribution of your life. And I think that's a question about service or ministry. And we talked about that last week a little bit when we said that God is pleased. We put a smile on God's face, and I've seen those little yellow stickers all over the place this last week. We put a smile on God's face when we serve him humbly. And Joshua said in chapter 24, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Amen. Boom. Mic drop. We're just going to serve the Lord. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Romans 12:11, "Be fervent in spirit," he says, "serve the Lord." Interesting how he connects those, being fervent in spirit, by serving the Lord. The Bible says that when we serve God, two things happen. First of all, we meet the needs of God's people. When we serve, serving God means serving people most often. So we supply their needs. And number two, God gets praise and thanksgiving. Paul wrote about that, put the two together in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Supplying the needs of God's people, God receives praise and thanksgiving. Those two things happen when we serve the Lord. So let me ask you, what is the contribution of your life? How are you serving God? Where are you serving God? When are you serving God? What does that look like? How will you put the infinite beauty and majesty of God on display for all to see? How will you do that? You can only do that preaching a sermon, right? Wrong. Absolutely wrong. You can do that as a millwright. You can do that as a teacher. You can do that as a manager of hockey equipment. You can do that as a housewife. You can do that as a retiree. You can do that as a student. You can do that as a stay-at-home mom. Put the glory and majesty of God on display for other people to see. That's your purpose. You can make a difference with your contribution. What's it going to be? Next, discover how to communicate your life. That's a question about evangelism. And we know the wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life. We know that, but how do you communicate that truth to your friends and family who need Jesus? How are you going to do that? If part of the purpose that God put you on planet Earth is to communicate your life to other people, how do I do that? What do I say? And when do I say it? And all of that. It has to do with evangelism. How will you communicate the center of your life to people who need to know? Right? I mean, you have no trouble communicating why the Toronto Maple Leafs are your favorite hockey team. And I know that's true of all of you tonight. You have no trouble communicating your love for your grandkids, right? You talk to anybody about that. They just need a pulse. They don't even have to be able to hear you. You're talking about your grandkids. I've become one of those crazy people. By the way, did I tell you that my great niece is in the Olympics this year? She is a loser. She goes down that icy hill at 130 kilometers an hour. She is the fastest woman in Canada. That's my blood in her veins. Somehow, not very much, just a little tiny bit, but she's my sister's granddaughter. Yeah, crazy stuff. How do you communicate the things that you're passionate about? Are you passionate about the gospel? And we need to learn how to communicate that, because that's part of the purpose that we have in life. See? So to share the gospel, you could use four simple steps. First of all, tell them about God's plan. Tell them about God's peace and joy and eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Get to the core of the plan of God. But God's peace is not automatic. So you'll need to talk about the problem that Jesus overcomes. You have to talk about this separation from God. By nature, we're all separated from God. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is holy, human beings are sinful, and there's this humongous Grand Canyon between us. Can't get across. There's no way to reach God by your own strength, by your own power, your own ingenuity. But God has provided a solution. So very carefully and very prayerfully, you can explain God's remedy to your friends and family, and that's the cross. The Bible says Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. God's love bridges the gap of separation between him and us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin and made it possible for us to get across that great canyon. But then we need to ask for a response. We need to encourage people, our friends and family and co-workers and fellow students that we're able to talk to about Jesus. We need to encourage a response. Ask for a response to trust in Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you cross the bridge into God's family when you receive Christ's gift of salvation, you see. When you confess your sins to God, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go from death to life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. When you walk across the bridge by faith in Jesus, you're born again. So you need to do four things. First of all, admit you're a sinner. You need to ask also to be forgiven by God and be willing to turn from your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and then receive Christ into your life by faith. You see, that's how we communicate the center of our life to others, people that we're trying to reach. Guys that you worked with, Ed, for a dozen years or more, you talk to them about this truth. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And there may be someone here tonight who needs to be saved. There may be someone in our audience tonight, one of our congregation, who need to be, you just need a fresh start. It's like God just opened the curtain for you tonight. And you said, man, that's what I need to do. That's exactly what I need to do. I've never done that. So why don't you do that? You need a new life with Jesus at the center. And if that describes you, then you could simply pray. In fact, you could believe this in your heart right now and be saved tonight. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust you. I will follow you as my Lord and Savior every day of my life. Guide me. Guide my life. Help me to do your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Something like that. So a prayer like that doesn't have to be exactly those words, but a prayer like that, if sincerely prayed, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you become a child of God. Today you can begin to rediscover the plan, the original design and purpose that God has for your life. His purpose for you has not changed. He still wants you to glorify him and enjoy him forever. I'm really challenged by what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:26, where he says, I run with purpose in every step. I wish I could say that, that I run with purpose in every step. Maybe every second or third, I don't know, but I wish I could say that same thing. But I do want to run with purpose. I want my life to be lived on purpose, don't you? We just have to find what that purpose is and walk in it. Run the race with purpose. I want to do that. I don't want to be sidetracked or sidelined for a single play. I want to be on the field, right in the middle of all the action. Imagine what it's going to be like one day when we stand before the throne of God. I think most of us will be standing like this, humbled to be in the presence of God. But together, we will glorify God as we say, you're worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power and dominion because you created all things. And by your grace, I stand here today, part of heaven's crowd. Won't that be a great day? Whew. We'll glorify God together and enjoy him forever. Amen. You know, today would be really a great day for us to recite part of our vision accord that we said together on our birthday celebration back in September. We had a delayed seventh birthday party. It's usually in the end of May or the beginning of June, but we had to delay it. Mr. COVID paid us a visit and said we had to wait a bit. So we did it, but we did it in September. Remember, and we used this vision accord that went something like this. Today, I'm stepping across the line. I will live the rest of my life serving God's purposes with God's people for God's glory. I will use my life to celebrate the glorious gospel. Since my past has been forgiven and I have a purpose for living and a home waiting in heaven, I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, petty thinking, trivial talking, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. Instead, I will glorify God in all that I do and say. Are you with me? Okay. Because Jesus reigns and rules my life, I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and people over possessions. I know what matters most, and I'll give it all I've got. Will you? By God's grace, I'll do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. I won't be captivated by culture, manipulated by critics, motivated by praise, frustrated by problems, debilitated by temptation, or intimidated by the devil. No, sir. Let's read the last part out loud, like we did back in September. Let's put our voices together and make this declaration together. You ready? Okay. As God provides the strength, I'll keep running the race with my eyes on the goal. When times get tough and I get tired, I won't back up, back off, back down, back out, or backslide. I'll just keep moving forward by God's grace. I cannot be bought, I will not be compromised, and I shall not quit until I finish the race. Wherever He leads and whatever the cost, I'm ready to serve anytime, anywhere, anyway. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you, Lord. Well, we have that entire statement on that green banner that's on that table by the door when you first came in tonight. So if you haven't signed it, if it would be meaningful for you to do so, please sign it before you leave. Sign it before you go for a cup of coffee in the gathering place. But sign it, because if that's our vision, it could be your vision, and if it's your vision, it certainly is our vision. And we'd love for you to sign on and say, yeah, that's my heart. I want to be part of that. So declare your purpose in life. That's part of your purpose. That's part of our purpose. And we can do this together. Let the seen and the unseen worlds witness your decision to bring glory and honor and blessing to God. Amen? Okay, let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. You've stirred our hearts once again. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We want to live our lives on purpose. We have no appetite for wandering or coasting through life, none whatsoever. Our goal is to please you in every step we take. We want to run with purpose this race that you've set before us, Father. Would you show us how to do that, please? As you provide the strength, Lord, we'll keep running the race with our eyes on the goal. And yes, when times get tough and we get tired, we won't back up, back off, back down, back out, or backslide by the grace of God. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.